Hello, welcome. We're going to discuss the conflicts between stockholders and creditors. These are known as agency conflicts. An agency relationship arises whenever someone called a principal hires someone else called an agent to perform some service, and the principal delegates decision-making authority to the agent. In companies, the primary agency relationships are between 1. Stockholders and creditors, 2. Inside owner, managers who own a controlling interest in the company, and then the outside owners, right? So the inside ownership, managers, and then the outside owners. They may have a conflict because they can see the company going in different directions. 3, outside stockholders and hired managers. So outside stockholders, they want to always push for greater returns, maximize shareholder value, whereas hired managers on the inside may see operations a little bit differently and may not want to be so aggressive because they know that they have to build up their business and continue to define and become experts in the skills of their industry. These conflicts lead to agency costs, which are the reductions in a company's value due to these agency conflicts. Stockholder-creditor conflicts. Creditors have a claim on the firm's earnings stream, and they have a claim on its assets in the event of a bankruptcy. Remember, creditors are our lenders. They are the ones that are issuing our debt. So they have a claim on the firm's earnings streams first above shareholders. Right? You can see how this can create a conflict between the lender and the stockholder. Now, stockholders have control through the managers of decisions that affect the firm's riskiness. Therefore, creditors allocate decision-making authority to someone else, creating a potential agency conflict. Because managers are also invested into the company and are more than likely shareholders themselves, decisions that can be positive for stockholders can be driven through managers, which may create a higher level of risk because of the aggressiveness of operations growth, because managers and stockholders want to see their stock price appreciate, and you may take on additional risk in order to push the envelope to push your stock price higher. Now, lenders are risk averse because they want to see a stable, smooth operation. They want to know that they have a steady stream of income. That way they know that they'll get repaid. So you can see how the aggressiveness that leads to additional risk by the stockholders can be a conflict between them and the lender. Perceived credit risk. Creditors lend funds at rates based on the firm's perceived risk at the time the credit is extended. So perceived risk, how are they perceived as risky? How credit worthy are they? Will they be able to repay these funds if we have a downturn in their industry, or if they stumble out of the blocks and something happens and they have to pay out extra capital, are they going to be able to cover their debt obligations? So we want to know, as a lender, as a creditor, are the credit worthiness of this individual or this company worthy of receiving funds from the lender. So perceived credit risk is based on the risk of the firm's existing assets. 2, expectations concerning the risk of future asset additions. So growing the asset base, more capital expenditures, more property, plant, equipment. The existing capital structure, right? So is there too much debt to equity already? How highly leveraged are they? Are they 80% debt, 20% equity? It's very highly leveraged. Leverage is known as over how much debt do we have? Are we overextended? Do we have too much debt? Are we overlevered? Right? They want to know that your capital structure is efficient. So adding more debt would create extra risk, particularly default risk. So we should know the existing capital structure and if it works for us if we're the lender. Expectations concerning future capital structure changes. As a lender, we need to know how are they going to forecast their future capital structure. Are they going to keep it intact? Will they pay down debt? Will they issue more equity? That is all in perceived credit risk. These are the primary determinants of the risk of the firm's cash flow, hence the safety of its debt. We want to make sure that anyone that borrows from the lender is able to repay and not be too much of a default risk. So asset switching. Let's discuss asset switching. Example, a firm borrows money, then sells its relatively safe assets and invests the proceeds in assets for a large new project that is far riskier. The new project might be extremely profitable, but it might also lead to bankruptcy. Again, are they going for too much operations growth? Are they getting too far ahead of themselves? So, do they have a opportunity for failure with this new expansion? Okay, if the risky project is successful, most of the benefits go to the stockholders, right? Because the stock price is going to appreciate, therefore they're going to have higher dividend payments, right? But the debt holders, right, the lenders, they aren't going to participate into this new, highly, extremely profitable success of the company, right? Because they have a steady, fixed stream of income coming from our borrowers, right? So they're not going to really see any advantage from this extended risk, right? So if the project is unsuccessful, the bondholders will take a loss because there's a high probability that this company will have to go through some type of bankruptcy restructuring or potentially even a liquidation, which is very risky for the bondholders, right? From the stockholders' point of view, the amount of a game of heads I win, tails you lose is obviously not good for the creditors, because if we invest in this risky project that's going to promote extreme profit and growth, right, as a stockholder, look, I have nothing to lose here, right? I can lose my investment, right, in the share price, but I can sell those shares and recoup those, at least a portion of the proceeds of those shares, whenever I want. Whereas debt holders, they may be left out to dry. Let's say there's a liquidation that goes on, and they're only to be able to recover 10 cents on the dollar, right, of their assets, right? So you've got to make sure that stockholders aren't pushing the envelope and trying to implement too much risky growth. The increased risk due to the asset change will cause the required rate of return on the debt to increase. So as a company exposes themselves to more risk in the market, obviously creditors will adjust their cost of lending and raise their interest rates as they deem the company more risky. The increased risk due to the asset change will cause the required rate of return on the debt to increase, which will in turn cause the value of the outstanding debt to fall. This is called asset switching or bait and switch, right? Increasing leverage. A similar situation can occur if a company borrows and then issues additional debt, using the proceeds to repurchase some of its outstanding stock, thus increasing its financial leverage. So a company borrows and then issues additional debt. So it uses proceeds to go out into the market and repurchase some of its outstanding stock. So this company goes out into the market, issues more debt, borrows more money, goes into the equity markets, buys their own stock back, right? So they just levered themselves to go buy their own stock. Okay, if things go well, the stockholders will gain from the increased leverage. Why? Because the company is going back into the market, they're repurchasing their stock. When they repurchase their stock, it's going to push the stock price higher. However, the value of the debt will probably decrease because there now will be a large amount of debt backed by the same amount of assets. So their debt-to-equity ratio just increased, right? Because they just took on this new debt to go back into the equity markets and buy back shares. So now because their debt-to-equity ratio has increased, right, now their interest rate or their cost of borrowing, right, will increase as well, because a bank or a lending institution will see them as more risky because they have a higher leveraged balance sheet, right? They have more debt on their balance sheet, so that way that now that debt-to-equity ratio has grown larger, and then a bank or a lending institution will notice that and factor it in as a default risk. In both the asset switch and the increased leverage situations, stockholders have the potential for gaining, but such gains are made at the expense of creditors. How lenders address asset switching. There are two ways that lenders address the potential of asset switching or subsequent increases in leverage. First, creditors may charge a higher rate to protect themselves in case the company engages in activities which increase risk. So they're going to insulate themselves from this increased risk by more than likely providing a higher interest rate. What if the company doesn't increase risk? Then its weighted average cost of capital will be higher than is justified by the company's risk. The higher weighted average cost of capital will reduce the company's intrinsic value. Recall that intrinsic value is the present value of free cash flows discounted at the weighted average cost of capital. Remember, our weighted average cost of capital is, okay, our capital structure, say 50% debt, 50% equity. Let's say the debt is 12%, they're getting an 8% return on their equity. They're both 50-50, so 10% would be our weighted average cost of capital. In addition, the company will reject projects that will otherwise would have accepted at the lower cost of capital. Therefore, this potential agency conflict has a cost, which is called an agency cost. So now you can see that this company may not be able to take on the additional risk because some of the additional risk may already be priced in by the bank and the default risk. The second way that lenders address the potential agency problem is by writing detailed debt covenants specifying what actions the company can and cannot take. Many debt covenants have provisions including 1. Prevent the company from increasing its debt ratios beyond a specific level. So a debt covenant is written in to a debt contract and it specifies certain ratios or different objectives that the company that borrows must maintain or complete by, or they will have an opportunity to have their debt called, or if they aren't meeting these obligations or these potential ratios, then they will have additional borrowing costs tacked on until they get the ratios in line. Prevent the company from repurchasing stock or paying dividends unless profits and retained earnings are above a certain level, because debt holders will be repaid first if they're in the event of a bankruptcy. So a debt lender may put in the provision that they cannot repurchase stock or pay dividends unless profits and retained earnings are above a certain level, because debt holders want to make sure that they're going to get paid back from free cash flow in the event of a downturn or a bankruptcy situation. These covenants can cause agency costs if they restrict a company from value-adding activities. For example, a company may not be able to accept an unexpected but particularly good investment opportunity if it requires temporarily adding debt above the level specified in the bond covenant. In addition, the costs incurred to write the covenants and monitor the company to verify compliance are also agency costs.